Good morning, everyone. Zach Arskadin coming to you live from Shreveport, Louisiana. And this will be my last day in Shreveport for a while, and I'll be heading back home tomorrow. But we'll still be able to do a show while I'm on the road. And today, I wanted to focus on the transition into a new wineskin, a new season for not only this nation, but more so importantly for the church. And the obviously we have a lot of prophetic from the last couple years and really for a while now about this new wineskin coming forward into the earth for the church. And this happens every so often, Protestant Reformation, Charismatic Movement, now the Prophetic Apostolic Movement, there's times of growth. You go from glory to glory, as it talks about in Romans. And so we're for the verse of the day, we're focusing in on what it means and why it's important to go to a new wineskin. And it's obviously very simple for us all to understand here of how Jesus says in Mark 2:22 that no one puts new wine into an old wineskin, otherwise the wine will burst the skin and the wine is lost in the skins as well, but one puts new wine into fresh wineskins. And why that's important and what's happening with that right now is Chuck Pierce talks about in his book, Reordering Your Day. He talks about how he references the future war of the church, saying the transition taking place in the body of Christ is really a changing of the wineskin and the moving to the apostolic prophetic. And the new wine God is longing to pour into his body is the power of understanding and wisdom we will need to face the future war of the church. Changing the wineskin, in this case, a changing of government in the body, is a crucial part of our preparation for the war. And then he goes next to reference Harold Eberle's book, The Complete Wineskin, where Eberle says, whenever the Holy Spirit fills people with new wine, quote, the structure or organizations in which they function must change. Old wineskins rip, new wineskins must be used to hold the additional life and power of God, which is what we see here in Mark 2:22. The time for God to move is at hand. Therefore, we should expect our present wineskins to rip if we don't change and move from glory to glory. And he goes on to continue to say, there can be no mighty spiritual awakening in our day without a great shaking in our church organizations, leaders, and structures. If you are looking for the second coming of Jesus, which is what we're seeing, or if you are praying to God to move upon your church, your city, your local schools, your family, and your own heart, then the first thing you must look for is a new wineskin. The new wine only comes when it's time to give the church for God to give the church revelation about how to be victorious in the next season. To do that, God has to restructure our wineskin in order to lay the foundations we need for future victory. And he goes on next, and I'll go into that more later tomorrow, about what it looks like. And this is why it's important to reorder our day, take back the day, because we're entering into this new season. There's a shaking that is happening right now within the body of Christ, and you're seeing that with what we've talked about of how, and people, the new stats that come out of how most pastors don't have a biblical worldview, meaning that they don't believe that the body of Christ has any authority and responsibility to be involved with whatever society, culture, place that they live in. And that's the direct opposite of what Scripture tells us, to be ambassadors, to be light. And this is why we're here, standing on the wall, praying for the office of the president. And if you've seen anything lately, and we'll talk about it today, it growing ever more increasingly as to why we really need to be praying for the office of the president. And with that, we'll go ahead and dive into some news. There's some things that are happening. There's decisions made domestically that are affecting the nations. And with the continued shutdown of China, with the unfortunate war going on in Russia and Ukraine that's causing problems, on top of mandates and stuff that are still trying to be put in place from this administration to prevent the ease and flow of trade, are causing issues economically for our nation. But I want to look at some things here in Europe and then go to the Middle East and then come back around to domestic United States issues. So we're seeing out of the European Union, may have seen this the other day, just kind of want to touch on this about how the European Union supposedly is pledging, and again, we've talked about this before, they're quote unquote putting on paper that they want to pull back and restrict the purchase of oil from Russia into the global markets, but that's causing a problem because where else are they going to get it? And then there's Hungary who is not going along with this, and they're talking about giving them a carve out. There's also problems with the fact that if you want to get oil to Hungary, it has to go through pipelines through Ukraine, or you have to ship it somewhere through Ukraine, or they're still trying to figure out how to get them oil because they don't want to be a part of this, which is very interesting. So it's kind of like, Then OPEC talks about how they themselves, even Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates is talking about suspending Russian oil from the calculations of how they're going to determine the output of oil. Then you also have Saudi Arabia talking about how they're mulling the idea of producing more oil due to the offset of lost Russian oil production, and more so the lost sales of oil to the nations that need it. Basically, they're going to fill in the gap rather than the United States and Russia, which they said they weren't going to do before, which is kind of interesting. And which next leads to what the Biden administration, and this is the alarming thing of why we need to be praying for this president, is the fact that he says, and he said it yesterday after his, during his press briefing, when he's taking question and answers on the baby formula, says that he can't click a switch and lower the gas prices in the near term. And I am saddened to see that, because that's the direct opposite of what he could be doing. And the Heritage Foundation goes through and just hammers him and says, no, that's not true. You could make it easier to have natural gas and oil being able to be produced, explored for, construction for pipelines, opening up the Keystone XL pipeline. I mean, there's a host of things you could literally do with a click of a button, a sign of a pen, whatever he would want to do. And he says the opposite. And meanwhile, gas is at, on average, highest it's been in a while, of national average of $4.62 per gallon, highest Memorial Day gas prices in more than a decade. So I bring this up because we need to be aware of where the president is standing on all these issues, and where they're at. And there's some other things about him that we want to continue to pray on. And at the same time you see this, you're seeing top bankers of the world, which if we've been listening and pay attention to what the Lord's been saying, the Lord's been ahead of this from even before what the bankers are saying, and Janet Yellen and all these other people, of that there's a potential economic hurricane coming. Jamie Dimon of Chase is saying that, well, you need to brace yourself. And it's forewarning. He does this every now and then because he looks at the numbers and stuff. But the Lord's saying, okay, there's something going on here. Be prepared. Obviously, with the persistent inflation, high gas prices, and the issues with Russia, Ukraine. And there are others out there trying to fear bomb people, is the best way to put it. Fear bomb the economy. And more so Jamie's doing this is because he doesn't trust the Fed, because he's seen what the Fed can do, and more so what they won't do in a time of crisis, which is what's necessary. And so we want to point that out and be aware of that as well. And that I'll talk about that a little bit further in some other issues that we have. And lastly, internationally, and more so this deals domestically as well, is you're seeing more reports of Iran going out now that they feel emboldened and are sponsoring and being involved in terrorist attacks. And now it's a domestic attack, a cyber attack on a Boston Children's Hospital that Iranian hackers were behind. Again, we're paying attention to this because this administration is in direct negotiations with Russia as the middleman, and Iran to get back into the Iran nuclear deal. If you're wanting to partner with someone and be in good faith negotiation and in good graces with someone, you do not attack their nation. You do not attack their business, whatever negotiation you're in. If you're showing good faith, and Iran unfortunately is not, it's just a matter of fact, yet this administration continues to want to get involved with them, there needs to be an awakening there. There needs to be a shift within this administration. And so that's what we want to pray for, is we want to pray for this administration to have the fear of the Lord, listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing on issues with Russia, Ukraine, and Iran. Because really, with Iran, you're dealing with Russia, and with Russia, you're dealing with Ukraine because of what's going on right now. So it's kind of a big circle. And then obviously with Iran, it deals with Israel as well. So everything comes back full circle. And China, you could throw China in there as well, because they're partnering with Iran and Russia. So everything is global to a mass scale, but it all boils down to what is our nation and what is our president doing that could help or hurt these situations. Which leads me to my next point of the fact that this administration has a problem with staying on the same page. And we saw this yesterday in the briefing that the president did in the fake Oval Office, to where he has to have a teleprompter, because he has to have a teleprompter, where he says he didn't become aware of the baby formula shortage until early April. But we've seen reports from CNN, if you remember, that Xavier Becerra, the HHS secretary, said that he knew from the FDA that from last year, Biden saying in April, it's June, and he's saying at least since last year that he was aware of it. So is there miscommunication from Becerra's office to the president, from the FDA to the president? And then when asked about it, the press secretary Jean-Pierre said, I have to go back and talk to the president. When Ducey asked him who's the person in the White House who decided after 6 to 8 weeks that this baby formula shortage was finally something that somebody should tell the president about. And so we're seeing some type of miscommunication there, or obviously, is Becerra covering himself to say, hey, we told you, it just didn't get run up the flagpole because somebody in your administration just isn't telling you these things. And that could very well possibly be the case. I mean, there's a host of things that can go on. But what we're seeing, and something we want to be aware of, and the reason I bring this story up is because we have prophetic that we want to pray for a blanket of protection over the president during his moments of dementia so that his staff doesn't take advantage of him. And why there's evidence now that shows that this is happening, and the president himself is getting frustrated with this, as reports have come out that Biden is unhappy that aides consistently try to clean up what he says. And he understands that it's when you walk back his off-the-cuff statements or statements in general, it undermines him and makes him look weak as a president. Maybe that's what they're trying to do to get him out via the 25th Amendment, being mentally incapable of being a president, to get somebody else in. That could very well possibly be the case. But while he's in office, we want to pray that he be protected. Obviously, we would want to pray that he doesn't have these moments of dementia, that they would use the wisdom and fear of the Lord. But, you know, God could be using this for a situation. So we do want to pray for this blanket of protection over Biden when his staff's around him, and when he's in these moments of dementia, so they don't take advantage of him to get things done that and get him to do things that he would normally not do. Biden sane is still better than the sanity of the insanity of his staff. It's just the best way to say that. Even though there are policy agreements and issues that go against the five foundations that Todd Trahan talks about, that Biden stands against, that he disagree with, but he is still better than the people underneath him. And we're seeing that on a day-to-day basis. So even the president himself, and even in whatever mental state he's in, is frustrated with the undermining of this, his staff. So it's something we do want to pray for. And then getting back to this tearing, this shifting in this nation a little bit economically, is new reports have come out that the Biden administration is canceling all remaining student debt loan for 500,060 borrowers of students who attended for-profit universities of Corinthian colleges. And why this is alarming and why this should be alarm everyone is not just the fact that he's forgiving student loans, is that he's forgiving student loans of for-profit private universities first and foremost. And yes, there was a lawsuit involved where the students were given the ability to have student loan forgiveness and things done, but the school has been closed since 2015. And this is an action where Kamala Harris, who was then the Attorney General, sued the Corinthian College even before carrying out a full investigation. And so there's a lot of things going on here that are kind of quite alarming. But the biggest issue is that, number one, you're forgiving student loans. And yes, the school didn't meet its obligation to the students. But then there's also the fact of, it's a private university. Partially, the students need to take responsibility for the debt that they took on. And then second of all, the biggest and the most alarming thing is that this is a unintended consequence of having the federal government get involved in the private sector. So now, are you going to say that anybody who goes bankrupt and is sued because they have no ethics, they steal, cheat, whatever the case may be in business, that the federal government's going to then now pay back any court rulings, proceedings? Because that's what's happening in this case. The school, whether the case was decided properly or not, was shown that they had to pay back $5.8 billion in student loans from the borrowers because they failed to meet the obligations that they said they would meet, false advertising, things like that they're being accused of. And now the federal government is paying back private loans, and more so paying for private sector. So this is why we want to pray for future leaders to have wisdom in the season ahead, because, I mean, in all honesty, the federal government needs to get out of the student loan game and debacle. They've been involved for quite some time. And even some senators and congressmen, we've played the clip before of how Representative Maxine Waters pulled in a bunch of bankers and said, why are you giving all these loans? And they sit there and say, look, we haven't been involved since 2010, some since 2012, and some even before that. And then her shocking is, we need leaders who are aware of what's going on in this nation and can provide solutions that actually help this nation as they are the decision makers themselves. And another issue that comes up, and something we need to be fully aware of, and this is part of the problem of why you don't take federal government funding, is that the Biden administration is now threatening to take away lunch money for kids if schools don't allow, amongst other things, boys in girls' bathrooms. And supposedly, the Alliance Defending Freedom says that religious institutions are exempt from this, but we'll see if the Biden administration actually holds to that standard. And so these are things where parents need to be made aware of what could potentially happening if you're sending kids to a school that public or adheres and follows these policies. Again, bribing and threatening to take away lunches to school children. And this is going to affect the lower economic school districts and schools throughout the country, because these policies will be put in place because they're going to do their, the schools are going to do whatever they can to try to, in their eyes, help the students. And some may deem this as the way to continue to garner federal funding. So something to be aware of, something to pray for, something to decide for parents, grandparents, people involved about what to be doing for children who could potentially be going to a school that might adhere to this type of policy. And again, we'll see if this, the exemption for religious institutions actually is upheld and followed through. And then on a couple things before I close is on the state of the economy, the jobs report has come out for April. And this will be something that the president is going to start talking about, is that it's being shown again, that U.S. hiring demand, meaning job openings, still remains strong in April. The high in March was 11.9, and now there are still 11.4 million jobs. While worker turnover, this is from the Wall Street Journal, while worker turnover remains elevated, meaning people are turning over jobs because they're trying to get higher paying jobs. But also, this is the, there are two numbers here that I want to go through that are completely contradictory, because this administration is saying that the unemployment rate, which is 3.6-3.5% seasonally adjusted, that it this shows a strong economy. And idealistically, if that were true, yes, that would be a great thing. But in a normal market, a 5% unemployment rate is healthy. But when you have 11.4 million jobs and they're not getting filled, you're showing that they're, when that's a high, that's a record high from month to month, those two numbers are in disproportion. You should have less jobs openings. And if your true unemployment rate was 3.5%, but in reality, what they're doing, I've talked about this before, they're taking out people from the general pool of the labor force, which makes the unemployment number shrink. So if there are job openings, there's et cetera, but you shrink the number of people that you're saying are actually looking for jobs, then yes, the unemployment number is low and it's artificially low, which again goes back to what Jamie Dimon said of the warning about coming hardship, which we've been having prophetic on to be aware of, get out of debt, have stockpiles of stuff. Even Rick Joyner's been saying that for years, just to be wise and prepared. And if you were during COVID and before COVID, then you weren't affected. And maybe COVID was just a wake-up call for the entire country. So that's just the state of the economy. And then last thing I want to close out on, because this will be, it just goes in line with the school lunch stuff, but this will be for parents coming up on midterms, a key issue. And I think states doing this is very wise to get people on the record. Where do they stand? Of how in North Carolina, lawmakers are advancing a bill to limit LGBTQ teachings in the school curriculum and in schools. And it passed the Senate, it's going to the House. It'll most likely pass the House, and then it'll go to Governor Roy Cooper's desk, where he is most likely going to veto it. But if anything, it puts him on the record for where he stands on this issue. And this bill is in line. It's very, very similar to the Florida bill, or the Reuters is calling the Don't Say Gay bill, although that's not the case. It's protecting and keeping parents involved. It's a parental right bill is what it is. Keeping parents involved and abreast to what is going on in the classroom. And again, COVID exposed all that. And unawoke parents. And so I want to pray for parents to continue to arise. But then also, as we talked about this transition into a new wineskin, we want to continue to intercede for current and future leaders to arise who have the fear of the Lord, understand the times and seasons we are in, and to use the wisdom and revelation from the Lord when making decisions for this nation, for their state, for their city, for their local municipality, and even for their neighborhood and their families as well, going down the line there. So blessings to each and every one of you for following along, and let's continue to pray. Let's continue to, as the Lord shakes, prune the things that are not of the Lord out of our lives, and walk into this new wineskin, the new manskin, the new glory that the Lord is shifting not only this nation, but the church, more importantly, and ourselves individually as well. So blessings, and I will see you guys tomorrow.